Good Wednesday. Good Odin's Day to you.
Good Odin's Day. What would Odin do with his day if he could have it back?
Just sit on his throne and send out his two ravens and two wolves to scour the earth for wisdom. Just like he does every other day. With a little bit maybe, more smugness in his heart.
Maybe he gets tired of just sitting there. Maybe he wants to go out and look for wisdom.
Well, sometimes he does, and sometimes he takes the shape as all paternalistic gods do, the shape of a human being, and test human beings in their hospitality, hook up with some ladies. That happens a lot with those gods.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Odin, you rapscallion. So that has nothing to do with anything, but to transition from that, yes. I just almost dead-named myself. Ash Van Steenwick, I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And good morning, Kathleen.
And everyone else is in.
And I've everyone noticed else.
The trend is Wednesday is our slow day. And so yes. You could look at that as a negative, but I look at it as our elite day, where elite those who day. Do tune in get the sweet goodies, the stuff that nobody else gets. Yes, today we're talking about something that's really interesting. It kind of popped up. We're talking about hope, like, oh my God, everything's kind of crappy. The old wisdom, this too shall pass. And, you know, maybe something better will naturally come. Is, you know, like, we don't know what's going to come in the future. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty. Right. And where do we have hope in that? And progress came up because in our society, in our civilization, in the West, which is embedded with a linear understanding of time, rather right. than other ways of thinking that are more cyclical. And that is totally tied up with Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Those religious influences are a part of it. But it leads toward this idea of progress being something as a foregone conclusion. Yes. Or something that is, we can have at least some confidence in it, at least. And so we had all kinds of conversation about that yesterday.
Right. Right. And so then, as I was telling Ash before we got on, I really got into thinking about this. And one of the things that I love to do with words that are just incredibly common words.
Like sponge, right? Words that just absorb so much.
You just hear all the time, use all the time. Is I like looking them up in the dictionary. And progress is one of those words that I've probably never looked up in the dictionary. I've just learned what it meant and absorbed that definition. And so if you look it up in the dictionary, the main definition of progress is simply to move towards something. Sure. And it comes actually from the word that means to walk. And so it's this idea of just moving along, walking towards something, some kind of goal, some kind of endpoint. And then the secondary definition is this definition that is so common in our society, which is that it assumes that the goal that you're moving towards is a better thing. Right? And even in the definition is the word modern, right? That you are moving towards a more modern society. Which I find fascinating. So this secondary definition has been superimposed culturally upon the original definition, because in the original definition, there really is no assumption that what you're going towards is any better. So you could be progressing towards something that is worse. Right? So if you're progressing towards the edge of a cliff, you could progress over the cliff and die. Right? That is not necessarily a better outcome.
That happens with Wile E. Coyote all the time.
Right. Exactly.
Lots of progress.
And so, you know, it is really, really interesting how in our society and in various, you know, sociological theories, you've mentioned the religious traditions. There is this idea that we are a priori progressing towards something better. And that assumption then covers over a whole slew of sins, right? It's kind of like, well, yeah, you know, if we had to kill 10 million Native people, it's a bummer for them, but we're progressing towards something better.
Yes. I mean, this is where
which is pretty weird thought if you consider it for a few minutes.
And there's so many different pieces. And like, this is the thing, like, so when someone says I'm a progressive, it can mean a whole lot of things. And so I don't want to presume to know what everyone thinks. And I don't want to be monolithic and assume that what I think of as progressive or progress, the way it's used, is speaking for everyone. So there's some spaces where I'll say I'm a progressive because it's just a shorthand way of referring to things. Like in church circles, progressive is kind of coded language for generally being affirming of LGBTQ persons and having a fairly left-leaning social analysis and economic analysis. You usually don't say radical. I'm a church radical or a radical Christian because it's less helpful.
Unless you want to get in trouble.
Well, you can, but like a lot of conservatives will call themselves, I'm radical for Jesus. I'm on fire for the Lord. So it's just a murkier term in those contexts. But there are assumptions, generally speaking, that bother me about this language of progress that we have to take a look at. And to me, one of them is just to separate out, like, and this is always the case with any sort of Marxist thing, whether you're being descriptive or prescriptive. And in this case, when you're talking about I'm progressive, you can mean this is just how history works and what we have to, and it's a useful metaphor. But other people treat it like a doctrinal belief, that it's a foregone conclusion, and that and because of that, it has a certain demotivating quality. And that's what's more interesting to me. Like, I don't really – whether or not progress is really a thing is almost secondary to me than how it motivates us or demotivates us towards things.
Yeah.
So let's say progress is really a thing. Like that we know that we're on this river of progress that will naturally pull us towards a destination, that the arc of the universe bends towards justice just because we don't even have to jump on the end of it or whatever metaphor that Gregory Brentley brings up, right? Is that?
Yeah. You got to get up and jump on
it. You got to get up and jump. Let's just say that's true. But repeating that myth actually demotivates because it assumes a radical continuity, that the seeds of justice are already enough there and we just have to stay the course. And that what that does is it dismisses the shitty things that happen in the meantime. So if I say, look, yeah, impoverishment, it's a bitch, but progress. That just says trust in this continuity. Don't try so hard and don't get too anxious about it. And even that even came up yesterday and what Stefan was saying Monday. And I don't want to be too harsh because like these sorts of comments, there's not enough context clues to really know where he's getting at. But when you see don't worry tied up with progress and that anxiety is negative emotion, it just is too easy for many people. And again, I want to be clear, I'm not assuming that Stefan is going here, but it could be. I don't know. It could be a way of saying, look, the oppression we're experiencing is kind of the hiccups along the road. Don't get bent out of shape about it. And a lot of people get like that, especially neoliberals, when they're talking to radical people. And the way I'm using the word radical is to be people who have more hope in discontinuity than continuity, that we can disrupt. And this is why it's funny, the whole Marxist thing, the Christian thing is, Christianity is not progressive, if you're at least looking at scripture. They thought Jesus was going to show up any given moment and like do everything different. That's a revolutionary approach, not a progressive one. So it's just, you know, taking these parts, things apart and looking at like, well, these operative myths, how we tell the story, what does that motivate us to do? What does it demotivate us to do? Who does it benefit? who doesn't it, who gets the short end of the stick. We have to ask these questions. Otherwise, we'll fall into this lazy white colonialist thinking where, look, capitalism is horrible, but man, it's better than everything that came before it, including whatever those indigenous people were doing over there when we showed up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things, just to clarify the arc of justice thing, the usual progress hopeful thing is simply to say that the arc of history bends towards justice. And what Gregory and I often talk about a lot is that, no, it doesn't necessarily. You have to get up and jump on it, right? That the arc of history does not necessarily bend towards justice. But that is that progress kind of idea at work. So we've got some comments here coming in.
Yes. Don writes, apocalypse without context, which is great.
Right.
It does throw different flavors into this, because this is the other irony. If Christians believe that we have this utopian vision at the end, and we think about the apocalypse as a good thing, what do we do with that? But then also there's the other way of interpreting this, which is for the people who were enslaved and brought here, and for indigenous people that are here, whiteness is apocalyptic in the shit version of that word. And so if we're going to just talk about things getting better for people naturally, like it didn't get better for a lot of people and still hasn't. And so better for who? Who's getting the progress and at whose expense?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Kathleen writes, here in Missouri, Truman is a big... Truman is a big hero for dropping nuclear bombs in Japan, saving U.S. lives. It's progress for you. It boggles my mind that we celebrate finding a better way to kill people. And then, of course, it was un-American to pass the atomic secrets to anyone else.
Right. Yeah, and the nuclear weapons program is a great example of this, right? So Robert Oppenheimer, who was the head of the weapons program, who was a physicist and initially was just interested in the theoretical aspects of all of this, and then got into the uses of all of these discoveries about atomic physics. And, he had this operative belief in progress, right? Like, hey, this is progress. We're learning what the atom does. This is going to be awesome. And so, he gets involved with this and the weapons program and, wow, this is great. And then after they dropped the bombs in Japan, he basically went mad because he was so horrified the uses to which his discoveries and his work had been put. And suddenly, I think part of the reason why he fell into such a state of dysfunctionality is because his understanding, his myth of progress had been really shattered. This did not seem like progress. And so I think that's a great example of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Gus writes, I love Rebecca Solnit's idea of hope. She talks about it being treated as feeling lucky, and instead in her book, Hope in the Dark, Paradise Built in Hell, similar, about being like a fire axe used to break down a door in an emergency. Hope is imagining that something better is a possibility, but requires work.
Right. Yeah, and so this was one of the things that I started thinking about. I had this kind of drawing sort of image, right? That going back to the original definition of progress, right, which is that it's just walking towards something, right? It's moving towards some kind of end, some kind of goal. And so it seems like you have to start off by saying, well, what is the goal that you would like, right? And that really, in some ways, I think that the arc of history, right, if we're going to look at the habitual activity of humanity, And, you know, I think we see this now with the climate crisis writ large. I mean, the really what humanity is progressing towards is extinction. I mean, that's actually what we are progressing towards. If we simply progress on our in our own unconscious way, and that what happens is that spiritual teachers and wisdom teachers show up and go, wait a minute, like there's another possible goal here. You know, so you've got one line going this way. It's like, wait a minute, like there's another way to go. And so if you want to progress in a better direction, you have to do something different. Right. And so, you know, to me, it's very important to actually shatter this idea that if we don't think about it, everything's just going to be fine. Because I don't actually see any evidence of that. And I think that this is where we actually do need to rouse ourselves. You know, that when the spiritual life talks about waking up, right, we're talking about rousing ourselves from this stupor to say, yes, we want to progress, but what do we want to progress towards? And how do we progress in a different kind of way?
There's a, I mean, it's interesting, like you bring up the spiritual life, and a lot of people will just, they'll treat Buddhism as though it's inherently progressive in the same sense, that the karmic cycle will just automatically go there. Which to me, you know way more about this than I am, so please feel free to correct me. But part of the whole idea of the bodhisattva is that there's almost this choice of like, it doesn't necessarily go there. Some of us have to decide not to break free from the karmic cycle to help everyone else along. Otherwise, we might just get fucked. And again, there's this, and it just shows that there's kind of the white way of doing Buddhism, kind of like will inject that sort of naive optimism in there. And to me, where does that come from? Like this progressive, the myth of progress has been so essential to enlightenment thinking that it becomes a retroactive framework we put on over everything. And so it's why people automatically assume that the Renaissance is better than feudalism. Like, okay, that might be true in some ways, but not in every way. Why do we think that? Because in order to justify this idea, they had to go back and tell a story with the data and clip off anything that doesn't fit the story. And so this is part of the problem with progress. It becomes self-fulfilling in a way that's naive. So that we look at all the evidence and say, look, see, progress. And we cut off everything that isn't progress. Mm-hmm. And so if someone brings it up, we dismiss it. And that's what that defines the experience of the Democratic Party more than anything.
Right? Yeah. And Don's got a comment right along these lines.
Ideas of progress underlie the idea of manifest destiny, for sure. Western Christianity in general is apocalyptic. We are inexorably moving towards doom and destruction.
Right. Well, yeah. And I mean, I think that this is the basic teaching about being unconscious, you know, and we talked about that guy's work on Monday, this notion that we're becoming less violent and everything's getting better. You know, and I was really thinking about this when I went to Guatemala a couple of years ago, right, because he says, well, even in places where there's still poverty and everything, like things are better. You know, there's less violence and this, that, and the other thing. And okay, yeah. So on the one hand, you go to a place like Guatemala, and sure, you know, people are not being hacked up in the streets like maybe they were at certain periods of time in the past. And so you could say, well, it's becoming less violent. On the other hand, if you look at what is happening in large parts of the world, the amount of garbage, the constant destruction of rainforest because people are starving, the constant need to leave your country and, you know, try to get across the U.S. border because, you know, gangs are going to try to kill you or extort money. The level of pollution and exhaustion and despair, you know, these people trying to eke out a living on like 30 square feet of land where they're growing a bunch of, you know, half dead corn plants to like desperately try to feed themselves and their family. I mean, the level of violence that is being wrought upon people by modern society is astronomical. Right now, again, it looks different than the Middle Ages, but there is no way in hell that you can convince me that it is less violent. And in fact, in many ways, it's this blanket level of violence. I mean, it's just exudes violence towards every living being. Yeah. But again, as you're talking about seeing selective data, you know, this guy sort of looks at a place like that and goes, well, you know, nobody's head's getting chopped off with swords in the middle of the street, so it's less violent, so we've made progress. And it's very diluted, very diluted.
Well, this is where both you see a conservative and more progressive versions of this, and I've already said this, I just want to double down on the way in which this functions to dismiss. So if you are a poor person who is living off of minimum wage and you complain to someone from the Cato Institute, which is the libertarian think tank, they'll be like, you're a child. You're acting like a baby. You have a microwave, a television, and you can get McDonald's anytime you want, fatty. Stop complaining. Like, even kings couldn't live this good. Right. I'm barely even paraphrasing.
No, you're right on.
They might not call someone fatty. They might be a little politer about it, but probably not even. Then the progressive version of this is, and this is, anytime a neoliberal or progressive gets angry at me, I feel like this is the reason they're like, look, we need to stay the course. And all you grumpy radicals are out there saying we need revolution, you're probably going to make it worse. Okay, so this socialism, if you do that, like, it'll make it worse. So we need to stay the course. And so, like, we'll dabble in Black Lives Matter, but not in any way that questions the fundamental order. Not enough to abolish the police. That could make things worse. We have to trust the flow here. And there's so many, just millions of assumptions baked into it that most of them are unreflected. That's why, you know, there's probably people listening to us that think we're cynical. And the irony is, to me, it isn't cynical. I actually believe that there's human capacities that work against us that we need to pay attention to differently. Like that we have hope in other spaces. And by believing in this story too much, we are not listening to better wisdom that we should incorporate.
And where are we putting our time, effort, and energy? Right. Yes. Because that's ultimately the only thing that we have any say over.
And to me, like, you know, I was talking to a friend about this the other day, the pipeline protest. So in some circles, you go to these indigenous led movements and they a lot of times the elders believe in the power of prayer as a force. And you have leftists who think that it's cute and they're like children and they'll put up with it because they don't want to be mean. They don't believe that there's actual wisdom there from those indigenous leaders. And to me, this is an example of where a certain kind of white progress, which is very progress in the West, is enmeshed within colonialism in a way that hasn't really been sufficiently talked about in any measure within movement spaces in depth, okay? Yeah. Especially in mainstream society. So to me, this way we tell the story of progress makes us treat spiritual people who are seen as less developed as children, instead of as powerful sources of wisdom that can help cure the diseases of white pathology and could lead to a Maybe there's, you could still call it, maybe there's a different story of progress tied up in that. Maybe their story and tradition and the wisdoms they've learned are a type of progressing towards a better thing that we should listen to. And so when we just have this baked in story, it doesn't serve anything besides our sense of naive hope. So more comments. Ellen writes, progress reminds me of the famous painting of Columbia taking over the West. Is that that floating ghost lady picture? I don't know. She kind of looks ghostly to me. I don't know if that's the picture or not.
Yeah, isn't it the one that Columbia Pictures uses, the woman with the torch?
I don't know.
Well, look it up.
Okay. Sorry, he's right. So we need to get back to developing skill of spiritual alchemy and artistry, which is a way of playing with evolution and entropy. It'd be great to unpack some more of this because I think I know what you mean, but there's a lot in there. That needs to take priority over progress or going backwards, regressing in a salvational way. In many spiritual traditions, it is necessary to go both underworld and upper world cosmos. Yet our oppressive society wants us to avoid those places. Yeah, there's something about, you know, you're just touching on a lot of different themes, but the underworld journey, which there's different ways to talk about that, of really, at the very least, I understand that to mean looking into the submerged parts of ourselves that we don't want to look at, like kind of the shadow work stuff. And then also looking at it societally. And I think progress avoids looking into that. Right. I mean, to me, spiritually speaking, looking at those places, it's not only some way to deal with it, but there's also wisdom there that I need to take seriously.
Yeah. Well, and if we allow for some of these circle or spiral views of time and unfolding, as opposed to this linear, you know, the Beatles, it's getting better all the time kind of thing. What that tells us is that, so in a different era, like the era we're in now, spiraling back to learn from some of these wisdoms in a new context is far more hopeful and far more powerful and positive than assuming, we're just going in the right direction. Right, because now there's actually something that we can engage. You know, there's actually something that we can do and work with. And Gus has got a comment, right? Oh, we've got another one from Series First, but then Gus's comment gets to that too.
Just as an aside, that has nothing to do with this topic. I see you have what appears to be an anime character as your profile picture. I don't know if that's Sailor Moon or not. Now I'm curious. So. I need to find out what the answer is. Because I'm an anime nerd. We need to also ground that on how to dismantle the myth of progress. A lot of guilt-ridden first world white people will advocate unconscious eco-fascism, including Malthusianism, thinking, and fetishize past as a way to busting the colonial concept of progress.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
Gus writes, recognizing the direction we are headed and the way that we seem less than willing to do what's needed to keep habitable planet for my kids and grandchildren sometimes feels paralyzing. In the last year, Miriam Ikaba had given me my mantra, hope is a disciple. I'm making, or is it a discipline? It's hope is a discipline. Making a habit out of finding things that can spark my imagination.
Yes.
I like the idea of hope is a discipline. It's you have to work at it. It isn't this. There can be a reason for lack of anxiety. To me, my way of dealing with anxiety is not to believe in children's stories that make me feel better. It's in realizing that there are possibilities, that the doors aren't all closed. And to me, it's why I do spiritual practice and why I think about contemplation and discernment as a spiritual practice is because I want to be able to walk through those doors. But I don't assume that they're just going to open for me, which is the way white people think. The doors just automatically open. Ellen writes, yes, the ghost lady. Columbia Pictures uses the image of the same goddess, but this picture is like railways, Conestoga wagons trailing over the land and natives running away. Yes.
Yeah.
And if you actually go to the Wikipedia page for progress, that's actually included in it, because that is, I mean, the big papa of American progressivism is Teddy Roosevelt. And at least in what we might think of as the modern era, he was the most colonialist president in the modern era in a lot of ways, like the Panama Canal, his Rough Riders, all this sort of weird West, like the establishment of this whole hemisphere of influence is kind of tied into all of that progressivism. And it was seen as altruistic the same way that Christian supremacy is seen as altruistic. And so to me, the myth of progress is the secularized baby of Christian supremacy. It's kind of how I generally think about it. Push back if you want. Don Matthews writes, I hear you saying that progress is paradoxical. Build a better mousetrap that will make the future better, but at a steep price. How do you think of spiritual progress?
So that to me was what I was trying to talk about before with this, you know, this image of these different lines, right? So that spiritual progress is that discipline of trying to wake up, right? So that the more that we wake up, and again, I like using progress in this non-moralistic sense, right? It's just movement towards something. Mm-hmm. And the something can be good, the something can be bad, something can be neutral, right? I mean, all of those are progress, right? But when we hear that word, it immediately means to us going towards something good, because that's what, you know, again, our society has hammered that over and over and over again. So to me, spiritual progress is this discipline of waking up, the practice of discernment, these contemplative practices. And so so that is what is hopeful, right? The ability to wake up in the midst of anything, which then inspires things like us, you're talking about imagination. Absolutely. I mean, that, you know, and in many, many indigenous traditions, when the society was faced with something cataclysmic, the solution was not technological. The solution was imaginative. And what are the new dreams that wise people are having? What are the new things that we are seeing? That is what becomes, leads us to progress towards a better goal, as opposed to the unconscious progress towards cataclysm. Mm-hmm. I got a few last comments and then kind of done.
Well, that went fast. We progressed quickly.
Julie
writes, yes, hope is a discipline. Yeah. And again, I could talk about this. People don't like the word discipline sometimes, I've noticed, but discipline just means you're putting energy towards something for a reason. Right. Like, that's kind of
in a conscious way.
Yeah. And this gets at this one too. Carol writes, and I'm not exactly sure what this is responding to directly, but when you say work at it, very Christian capitalistic, play is maybe more Ashley. I like this. To me, work is not inherently capitalist. To me, it's like work is the point of capitalism as a way of generating wealth from the exploitative labor of others. But to me, work, the way I think about it, is calling. Vocation is the work.
Yeah.
Work is the thing that you do in order to make sure that our needs are met and that we can create a safe environment for everyone so that we can then play. Play is the point. Work is the necessity. It's the needful thing. To me, it has to be in service of recreation and joy and family and community, and it serves those good things.
Yeah. I would also say that play is a style of work. So that could be.
But yeah, again, these words have so much loaded meaning. And so work under capitalism is part of the hellscape. But when like activists say do the work, they don't, I mean, there's the way in which this seriousness and intention and energy, it's kind of what I think.
That can also be a little hellscapey at times.
For fucking sure. Don says, thanks. I'm assuming that's
directed
towards me. And I was kidding. In response to your spiritual progress reflection. Carol writes, "We are called to save the earth, the world, each with their own gifts." Yeah. Yes, and that is that's true.
Very radical idea.
It's a very radical idea, and it's where discernment comes in, and why we can't just assume these dominant operative myths. There might be, there's a lot of good things about what we, when we say the word progress, what it means, but we can't just fall asleep at the wheel, to use that tired metaphor. Okay, hope is a practice.
No, Julia, for you, it's a discipline.
Get I to like work. The word discipline. It is a discipline.
I do.
It's
I
a
do
practice. Too. It's a work. Hope is a play. Is play. Hope. Like, hope is a lot of those things. But what it isn't is, I don't think it should be just this naive trust that things will float the way they ought to go.
No. All right. Well, thank you very much. Great hearing from all of you. It's really wonderful. Warms my heart. Think of you all together with us.
Yeah.
And we'll be back on Friday, everybody's favorite day.
I hope to see you on Fascist Friday, everyone. Let us progress towards that goal one with another. I don't know why I did that accent, but see you once Friday.
That's your accent. Bye. Bye. Thank you.